Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Insurance fraud is no laughing matter. As a matter of fact, the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud estimates that it costs at least $80 billion. That's with a B. It costs us $80 billion a year. But beyond the money costs, there are other costs that we probably don't even think about. So let's look at that. My guest is Jim Quiggle. He's the Director of Communications for the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud. Jim, it's so nice to have you back on the program.
Shirley, it's always great to be with you.
You know, we can laugh about insurance fraud because some of the things that these people do are totally unreal. But it really isn't a laughing matter because it is so expensive to us as consumers. But do people consider insurance fraud okay? I know in the past you've done surveys where consumers have said, oh, it's just an insurance company. Is that a common attitude, or is that something that we certainly want to eradicate it, but is that an attitude that we're hearing from people or that you hear from people?
Well, Shirley, we're finding that the public is beginning to understand insurance fraud is no laughing matter, that it's a serious crime that can hurt and damage and victimize any American at any time. The polls show that the public's getting a little better in its understanding. However, there's still far, far, far too many people who view insurance fraud as a victimless prank, a simple white-collar crime against insurance companies who won't miss the money anyway. This is a very repeated theme, and trying to show the public that insurance fraud really is a truly damaging societal crime that can hurt Americans in their pocketbooks, in their health, in their dignity is a very big project.
Well, I think that one of the things that's most striking to me is that in the process of committing insurance fraud, people are killed or maimed, devastating damage to people's lives because somebody else wants to collect an insurance policy. And we're going to get to some of those really awful, egregious frauds that have been tried to be committed in your hall of shame. But first, let's just look at the fact that it also can cost people jobs. If they can lose their jobs because of fraud. Consumer goods cost more. What are some of the other things that are going on that are related to insurance fraud?
Well, certainly insurance fraud can cost you your life. You have a spouse who shoots the other spouse in the head three times in order to collect a $500,000 life insurance policy. We've seen people's savings account being drained. They might be sold fake health insurance.
Oh,
and
wow.
Thinking they have an honest policy, they go in for an appendix operation, only to find that the policy is fake and that they have to pay for this out of their own bank account, which can basically bankrupt you. It's a horrifying discovery when you can least afford it, when you're flat on your back needing an operation that could save your life.
Now, I know that the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud, with which Call for Action is very proud to be affiliated, that you all have been fighting the good fight against insurance fraud for quite a while. And I also know that you're a nonprofit organization. Jim, would you like to tell our listeners just a little bit about the coalition?
Oh, sure. Absolutely, Shirley. The coalition is fighting all forms of insurance fraud, you know, health, life insurance, property casualty, auto and homeowners. If there's a form of insurance fraud, we're going after it. We're going after it through enlightening the public about the serious nature of this crime. We're conducting research that will tell people more about what this crime and the damage it's doing. We're fighting for stronger state insurance fraud laws that will really clamp down on these people and put them in jail. So we have a very wide-ranging agenda, and we're pursuing it aggressively.
Oh, yes. And you do have a lot of cooperation from insurance companies because they have a vested interest in getting this crimes or criminals off the street.
Well, yes, the coalition is a fascinating group. We are very credible because consumer groups, insurance companies, and state agencies are all our members.
Right.
It's a very interesting, almost like odd couple, because it's not often that consumer groups and insurance companies can agree on one thing. But they both have a very enlightened viewpoint, which is, hey, we may not agree on a lot of things, but we can agree that insurance fraud is something we can both fight together, which is why we have consumer groups and insurance companies fighting side by side under our banner.
And the organization, you have your website. Tell people how they can get to the website, because you've got tremendous amount of information there.
Well, Shirley, if anybody wants to learn anything about insurance fraud, we're a one-stop shop. Go to insurancefraud.org. That's insurancefraud.org. You'll click into a whole world of things, of all things fraud. Whatever you need to know, you will find it there.
I think some people are going to be stunned and startled when they see the types of fraud and what these people have tried to do. I remember one, Jim, that we talked about some years ago, where a guy buried a tractor in his backyard and people have dumped their yachts and, you know, sunk them. And it's incredible to me what people tried to do. But at any rate, I guess as long as there's a profit to be made, they're going to try to do it. And of course, this directly reflects on the premiums that consumers, honest consumers, end up paying, because somebody's got to cover the cost of the fraud.
Well, surely one of the big trends in insurance fraud is organized crime, especially in auto insurance. We're seeing large organized rings that are staging accidents, putting innocent motorists on the roadways in danger of being killed or hurt, mm-hmm. and set up wrecks. And these are stealing tens and hundreds and even millions of dollars at a time. And guess what happens? These are raising auto premiums for honest drivers everywhere. We're finding that crackdowns on stage crash rings in Florida are actually lowering the premiums of drivers down there. And this shows you how much that crashes actually are raising premiums, not to mention endangering them on the roadway.
Now, I'm familiar with this because you and I have discussed this subject before, but tell our listeners a little bit about this scheme and how a general one works.
Oh, gosh. Shirley, stage crash, it can be very, very dangerous. People have died in these. You might be pulling out of a parking space, and a driver kind of stops right next to you, and you wave him on, so he says he's going to go on, but then he drives right in front of you and stops, and you're backing out of the parking space and T-bone him. And guess what? He's claiming that you did it, caused him egregious injury.
Mm-hmm. And he's probably got people in the car that are going to be hurt too.
Oh, they pack them full of passengers, mm-hmm. and they all claim they're injured, you know, back and neck injuries. You might be driving along, and suddenly another car jets right in front of you and causes you to it brakes immediately in front of you. Of course, you're going to rear-end that car, and of course, you're going to be at fault, even though it wasn't your fault.
Right.
Guess what? The car's packed full of people. They are going to claim they're injured, and this is all against your policy.
Okay, and we're going to follow up on that. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jim Quiggle. He's the Director of Communications for the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud, and we're talking about staged car accidents. And believe me, these are extremely dangerous because, Jim, if I understand it correctly, if these people will then go, who claim that they've been injured in the staged accident where they've caused you to hit them, they will then go to, quote, doctors and lawyers and get medical treatment, supposedly. So they're going to defraud the insurance company, the car insurance. They're going to defraud health insurance. And then they may end up suing you in addition.
Well Shirley, these are very often very organized, lethal, cold-blooded rings that they will target innocent motorists. They might be driving on the freeways, and they'll pull in front of them and try to cause an accident. Your lives are in danger. Sometimes even kids are packed into these cars as fake passengers.
Now, what can a motorist do? If you think you've been the victim of a staged accident and something like this has happened, like we're describing, you should certainly immediately call the police.
If you're on the scene and you suspect something's wrong, call the police immediately. Especially if these people are rolling around on the ground pretending to be injured and in pain, well, the police will come because we have injuries. get the names and addresses, get the license plate numbers, get the driver's license numbers. If you got a cell phone with you, start taking pictures.
Amen. Yes, that's a good idea.
That will scare a lot of these people off because they don't want photographic evidence, especially of a light little fender bender.
And they don't want their picture out there either.
They don't
want
a picture. That it shows that you're serious about combating them. And often they'll just get back in the car and drive away.
Well, of course, because, I mean, they did it to begin with. And then, of course, there you are, shaken up, car damaged, and you're a victim of it, whether or not they've actually ripped you off the way they intended to.
But you're taking photographs, and that alone scares a lot of them off because they realize that you're serious about combating them.
Great. That's the best thing to do in any kind of an accident is to take photographs. Well done. Okay. Let's move on to talk about some of the notorious things that people have done. And now one of the Hall of Shame, and tell people about the Hall of Shame, Jim.
Well, the Hall of Shame brings together the worst insurance schemers of the last year. These are the worst of the worst, or maybe it's they're the best of the worst, or the worst of the best. You name it, but these are the criminals who stand out head and shoulders above the rest as people we need to tell the public about in order to tell the public what insurance fraud can really do to you.
Yeah, and one of the things that you all have under the Hall of Shame is a personal injury lawyer by the name of Joseph Haddad, who had a crime cartel that was staging crashes.
Well, yes, Haddad is a personal injury attorney. Very appropriately, he set up a whole fraud factory, and all he did was track down innocent victims of real crashes, steer them to corrupt clinics on Haddad's payroll, and perform unneeded and possibly dangerous medical procedures on people who didn't even need it. These were perfectly uninjured, passive people. So you're getting medical treatment, you know, massage or back or chiro, you don't need it. This could damage you medically.
Right, and yet they're promising you money, so somebody who's got a little bit of larceny in their heart and they've been in a car accident and Joseph gets after them, they could be a willing accomplice in this and yet end up being seriously injured by bogus medical treatment.
Well, often these are just regular people who are so dazed that they'll say, sure, yeah, if you want me to go to the clinic, sure, I'll go to it. They don't know that they're stepping into a dishonest fraud factory.
Wow.
They think they're getting real treatment.
Oh, boy. And then they end up getting – they're worse because if they needed treatment and they're not getting treatment, then they're going to get worse.
A healthy back could become a very sore back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. So we give Joseph there high marks on his creativity and his crookedness. So is he in jail, I hope?
Oh, yes, he's in jail. And he's serving quality time, and he's
good.
Having a hard time with his license.
Yeah, now, when something like that, when the ringleader is taken down, as this guy sounds like he was the brains behind the outfit, do you feel pretty comfortable that particular outfit's been shut down?
Well, we think this is shut down because he's already in the crosshairs of law enforcement, and they're going to be watching his every move. You know, once he gets out, so
right.
I think he will be smart enough to stay away from this going forward. But then again, you never know.
Never know. He may think that he's gotten smarter than law enforcement by having figured out what he did wrong. Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you, one of the ones that really just gave me chills on your Hall of Shame is the home insurance arson fraud. And that, to me, has got to be one of the worst things that I've read in a long time. You want to tell us about it, Jim?
Well, when we're talking about home insurance fraud, spouses will try to kill each other for insurance money. And poor old Buddy Musso, nice guy, he had the IQ of an 8-year-old. This woman, this very scheming woman.
Let me stop you. We're talking, that's a different one, but go ahead and talk about Buddy because it's a good one, too, but I was referring actually to the one where the two children had died.
Angela Garcia.
Yeah, we'll talk about her in a minute. Go ahead and talk about Buddy.
Well,
talk about dreams unrealized.
Yeah, poor old Buddy Musso IQ of an 8-year-old, but all he really wanted to do was be a cowboy singer. So this other woman glommed onto him, saw him as somebody she could leech tons of insurance money off of. She married him under false pretenses, got him down to the Houston area, took out a policy that had a clause that adds $60,000 if he dies violently. I mean, that's really strange.
Oh boy.
So she assembled a gang, and they tortured Buddy for weeks. They covered his body with bleach.
Oh my God!
They kicked him, they stomped on him, they cut him and lacerated him, and this went on for a long, long time. He finally died. They found his body in a ditch. Where they just discarded him, and she got a lousy extra $60,000 out of this for all she did to poor old Buddy. And
oh my God!
I just wanted to be a singer.
Happy my guy. God! Isn't that is so tragic? And you know, that's a warning to people who have relatives who are have a marginal intellect. You really have to guard them, don't you? You really have to be careful. Well, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jim Quiggle. He's the Director of Communications for the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud. And we're talking about some of the horrors that people commit just to try to collect some insurance money. But let me warn you, this is a big business because it costs us $80 billion a year. And that may even be a conservative estimate. Let's go back to the one about the two kids, which is the one that just gave me goosebumps. It really made me feel a little sick about two children, Angela Garcia.
Well, if you want to get sick, this is the way to do it. Angela Garcia owned a home. She didn't want the kids anymore. She just wanted to join the Navy or just live a single life. So what she did is she set her house on fire and left the kids upstairs to die in the fire in the bedroom. And so she told people that she kind of broke out the window, slid down a porch roof to the ground, and escaped unharmed. Well, what did her in was the fact that investigators found no soot on her, no cut from breaking through the glass. She didn't look at all as if she was upset. And she didn't look at all traumatized. She was just normal. And this doesn't happen to somebody who breaks through a window and comes tumbling down onto the ground from the second floor. So that was some of the evidence that really turned her in and convinced the jury that she had, in fact, burned down the house and killed the kids.
Well, the older one, the 3-year-old, there was a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old, if I'm correct. And the 3-year-old was tied up with a bed cord. Window cord so that she couldn't get out of bed and escape. Boy,
well,
I tell you,
yeah.
You talk about cold-blooded people.
Oh, I mean, this was awful. The poor kids died of smoke inhalation, and they were found on either side of the bed. So, you know, this is the kind of insurance crime that drives you to tears almost, just to even think about it.
Oh, boy, it sure does. I mean, that is a horror. Some of them, you know, we can laugh at some of them, but boy, that's one just makes me feel a little bit sick to my stomach. I hope she's in prison for life or got life taken from her.
Oh, yeah. She has life insurance. She has life in prison, so she'll be spending a lot of time figuring out about what she did wrong.
Oh, boy. That is just totally incredible. Now, when something like this happens, some sort of insurance fraud happens, and a consumer, a bystander, knows it, could be a relative or whatnot. They should report that, shouldn't they?
Yes. If anybody thinks there might be a fraud taking place and they know about it, you know, sometimes your temptation is just to turn your eye the other way and forget about it because it's the easiest thing to do.
Oh, yes.
But if you want to be a truly concerned citizen, you can call your state insurance department, which will have a toll-free fraud hotline, and you can leave all the hints and ideas and notions about what you suspect. And this is anonymous, and nobody will know you publicly. This is something you can just phone in. And I think it's a very good idea. You can also send the information to the insurance department with all the records or documents that you've compiled to make it easy for the investigators to want to go out.
And they don't have to use your name, because I think that's what discourages a lot of people. They're concerned. They're going to think, well, if I turn in a family member, the rest of the family is going to turn against me. So they can do this without having to reveal who they are.
Well, that's right. I mean, you ultimately may end up in court, but you can also refuse to go if they call
right.
you. So, but ultimately, the fact is you're doing a good turn as a concerned citizen. And I have to add, though, you know, we've been talking about some pretty violent insurance cases.
Right. And they're not. That's not most of them, though, is it?
No, these are the extreme ones that are, by design, we compile to draw attention, because that's what
of course,
attention.
Of course. I mean, the way you're going to get attention to the whole issue of insurance fraud is to tell a story that's going to get people's attention. It's not the $300 overestimate or something that they got for the car. It's these human interest stories, I think, that make us focus on something like that, Jim.
Yeah, that's right, Shirley. And it's not all darkness either. We have some utter knuckleheads.
Oh, I love the one. Talk about knuckleheads. Here was the former police officer who was a punk rock band singer. Tell us about him. Christopher.
Oh, yes. Well, Chris and Sarah had a lot of tattoos. He moonlighted as a punk rocker, as the front man for a band that was doing tours around the country. He was also an NYPD cop based in New York. Well, he claimed his right arm was hurt. He couldn't even move it based on from a job accident. So he started collecting workers' compensation insurance. Well, he went on tour with his rock band, and video started coming out and posted on YouTube of all places, showing this guy doing fist pumping on the stage with guess what, the right arm. He's thrashing around and jumping around like there's nothing wrong. He was just nailed to the wall when the YouTube video started getting out.
Isn't that incredible? I mean, really? So you're collecting disability, and you go out there and you put it all over the internet that, oh boy, I'm in the bank, bro. Oh yeah, I just, you know, these people are stupid. Well, maybe we're glad because they get caught.
I don't know. Why you don't think people are going to find out about this is beyond me.
I agree.
But then you have another YouTube, Andy House, who was another knucklehead. He owns Bugatti Veyron. Only 300 of them were made. So this was an absolute hypercar. He took out a $2.2 million policy after buying it for just, quote, just $1 million. So he stood to make a cool $1 million profit if somehow the car disappeared. So what the guy does is he's driving along the coast of Florida, guns it right into a salty marsh, and leaves it there with the engine running, which floods the engine, wrecks the car. He's ready to collect. Except unbelievable luck. Another car enthusiast happened to be passing by and saw the car, pulled out his cell phone, and started filming this incredible car zooming along the road.
Oh, my God.
Guess what? He happened to be filmed at the moment that Andy House drove it into the marsh.
Well, Andy House had some bad luck, thank goodness.
Your luck doesn't get worse than that. And so needless to say, the evidence was pretty overwhelming.
It was. Well, Jim, it has been a fascinating interview. Thank you so much for joining us and for sharing all this information. The Coalition for Insurance Fraud's website is totally incredible. Do make sure you visit it. There's lots of information there. And we've been talking about some of the things you ought to know about insurance fraud and how much it costs consumers. You've been listening to Off Consuming Interest. My guest has been Jim Quiggle, the Director of Communications for the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud. I'm Shirley Rooker. You can reach me at shirley@callforaction.org. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.